Lord, we thank you and we magnify you and we glorify you. Thank you. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us, what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the mercy seat, that we can come, and that your blood covers us, saves us, forgives us. Lord, we thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we're so thankful for what you've done for us, what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we just come before you. We thank you, Lord, that we just ask you, come, fill us, Lord. Empower us, Lord, to be the people that you desire us to be. Lord, that we would become more like you. Lord, that our cry is that we would be more like Jesus. And we thank you, and we magnify you, and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, we thank you for the tithes and the offerings. And Lord, we just lift them up to you this morning. You said if we'd bring the tithes and the offerings into your storehouse, that you would pour out wholeness upon us and that the devourer would be rebuked off of our lives. And Lord, we just declare that the devourer is rebuked off of our lives. And we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Tuesday morning we have prayer here at 6:30. Tony's always faithful to have the coffee on. Thursday night we have Bible study and prayer at 6 p.m. and then the healing rooms at 7. Praise God. Nan wants to share some things. Huh? Yeah, in the DVD. Let Sandy give her mother and her grandfather the... Wait, Nan. Let Sandy talk. I'm going to let Sandy get in her little cubicle. Go to your room, Sandy. One. Come here and show your grandmother. One of those doesn't work, remember? The one side doesn't work. We're still experimenting with all this stuff. Okay, now go ahead, Nan. Well, Julia doesn't. Mom. Did you give Charles one? You don't have a DVD player? Okay. I want Juan to share what he watched the DVD, and he made a come up here. Get Wanda's mic so your mother can hear and she can share with your mother. It's here. Wanda's is back here. Huh? Don't get nervous now, Wanda. Huh? You can say anything you're little, whatever came to you.
Okay, well, what I found surprising is that no matter what they were thinking, they still accomplished what they wanted to do. Like, all the doors were being shut for them. Every time they wanted to go to the other side, they kept either be, like, imprisoned or sent somewhere else to be, like, destroyed of their religion. But even though they kept going, they still wanted to be with God because they knew how much it wanted to be with them. And no matter how many times, even though they knew that they could face death, they would still want to be with God. And that's what surprised me. I was like, wow. Because I never seen anybody go such length just to be with God. Because now in our world, it's just here. Because we don't know what it is to truly feel like a true passion like them. Because it took years and months for them to see it. And I was like, wow.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anyway, it is a very good DVD. It talks about how our nation was born. And there is hope. Praise God. I mean, there is hope. We have hope. Amen? Praise God. And you're going to talk about the other things? And anyway, I encourage everyone, after you watch the DVD, to pass it around, keep it going, because it is really, really an awesome DVD about how our nation was founded, what's going to sustain our nation, and how we can come back, our nation can come back to Jesus. Amen. I mean, let's, because I'm going to talk about it a little bit, but with, unless we come back to Jesus, we're down the tubes. I hate to say that, but we're down, I mean, you know, we're down the tubes. Amen? In other words, what am I supposed to do with my salvation? What am I supposed to do? You know, where is the moral fiber of our nation going? I talked about this a couple of weeks ago a little bit, but I want to continue in this. You know, 90% of people in the United States say they believe in God. But our culture is unraveling right in front of our eyes. We're kind of like the frog in the boiling pot. We all know that story of the frog in the boiling pot. In other words, you get a pot of water boiling and you throw a frog in and he's going to jump out. You put a frog in a pan of water and then you turn the fire on and it gets hotter and hotter and hotter and he just gets cooked. And that's kind of what's happening to us. I know, well, there's some of you here that will remember what happened in the 19th, how our nation was in the 40s. Some of you don't, but some of us do. And it's a long way from the 40s. Amen? Amen. I want Wanda to read Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 16. And before I do that, Wanda, I want to share something. It kind of goes along with this. Francis and Marge had an anniversary this past week. Amen? How many years? 45. Amen. And what I'm bringing out is, you know, today there's not that many people that stay married 45 years or 46 years or 50 years or 53 years. Amen? Huh? Okay. But anyway, praise God. Amen? Okay, now you can read the scripture. I just had to, that was Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 16. Sandy, huh? Yeah, no, she can hear. Hopefully, she hears me. Our experiment's not working, Sandy. Well, but we're going to eventually. Amen. Praise God. Well, un día vamos, esas cosas vamos hablando. Un día. Yo no sé cuál día, pero un día. Okay. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 16, Wanda. We Christians are to be the moral fiber of a nation, of this nation. And it says in this scripture in Matthew, the 5th chapter, if the salt has lost its savor, what did Jesus say about it? It would be trampled under the dominion of men. What is happening today with the Christianity? What's happening? It's being trampled under the dominion of men. Why? Why? Because the church has lost its salt. This is what's happening to the value or the impact of the church today. We are in a nation that the expectations that are put forth are not going to be met. Many that love the Lord today are not moved by the fact of salt and light. They believe that none of this matters. Our job is to get saved. This is what the majority of the people that go to church, I'm not saying all of them, I'm saying a majority of the people that go to church, the job is to get saved and basically live a good life. Then we get out of here. It's more about getting out of here than changing the world. Because the world is evil and God is going to judge it. And that is the way it is. That's the Greek philosophy of the world. The best we can do is to get our families together, work on our marriages, hope our kids don't turn out too bad as a result of peer pressure and all that other stuff that the kids are going through today. Hope we don't offend the Lord too much when we go to heaven. Whatever happens to this nation or any other nation really is not that great a consequences to me. Now, this is what, I don't know what percentage it is, but a big percentage of the people that go to church today feel. This is the centering point of a massive amount of American evangelicals. This is the way they think. We have privatized the gospel to such a way that, such a view that it appears to us that the Bible teaches us that salvation is about being healthy, wealthy, and wise, and comfortable. And we really don't have any responsibility too much beyond our immediate family. And sometimes we don't even have too much responsibility to our immediate family, except the ones that live in our house. Our primary job, the way the majority of the church thinks, is that the devil, just so the devil doesn't run over us and we get out of here. You just talk about how many people, all they can talk about is going to heaven. Getting out of here. Getting out of here. Getting out of here. What happened to Israel when it lost its salt? Just think about it. What happened to the nation of Israel when it lost its salt? In the Old Testament, it went into captivity. And we're not any better than Israel. And I could go on and on and on in this subject. And I'm afraid, you know, I'm not very politically correct, so I'll just say what I want to say. If the church doesn't come alive, the church doesn't come alive and stand up for the Lord and speak, there's a facet, there's a, what do you call it? Anyway, Islam is going to take over. You look at what's happened to Europe. Just about every country in Europe, Islam has taken over. They are conquered. we don't stand up for what Jesus says, we are going to go into captivity. I mean, we went to a meeting, several weeks ago. They had a tea party thing in Harlingen. A man was talking about Sharia law in the United States. And we got these pamphlets here from there. Sharia law is already being done and governed here in the United States as a way that judges are referring to Sharia law and judging according to Sharia law. It's in the divorce courts. But that's just a stepping stone to what's going to happen. We have got to be the salt. You know, Israel is given to us as a spiritual law being implemented here on earth. I mean, the Bible, the Word of God. When Israel was obedient to the Word of God, when they were obedient, they had a degree of peace, victory, and righteousness. When they were disobedient, what happened to them? They went into captivity. That is what is happening all around the earth today. As nations turn away from the Word of God, they're going into captivity. The issue today, we think it's about abortion and homosexual marriages and pornography and all those other things. That's just symptoms. That's not the issues today. All these, they are just symptoms of a serious problem that is the body of Christ is largely viewed as a total irrelevant to the real life. That is the real issue, the real crisis that we're living in today. Beginning with me, beginning with you, we're all responsible. We all bear responsibility for the crisis. You know, I guess it was Tuesday morning when Tony and I were praying. We were praying for that God would send the Spirit to waken up our politicians so that the Spirit of God, and it just hit me like a lead pipe hit me. I said, Tony, that's not the way we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray that God would send the Spirit and wake up the believers, wake up the people in the church, that they would waken up and they would pray, that God would send His Spirit to us, and then we would vote to get the idiots out of Congress. I mean, it's our responsibility. It's our place. It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to bear the responsibility of this crisis. You know, Nan and I went to a gathering back in the 70s at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. The whole Arrowhead Stadium was full. I mean, it was jam-packed of people. It was during the... There was 70,000 people there. And a Catholic bishop, I don't remember what his name was, got up and talked to this group. And he said, the problem is not that we are not Christians. The problem is we're not Christian enough. The reason our nation is in the shape it is because the church has failed. You know, I think about it. With all the supernatural moves of God, it has all been for what reason? Or not all of it, but I mean a big part of it. Me, me, me. I want to be blessed. I want to be this. I want to be that. Sure, that's part of it. But the main thing is we need to be the salt. The church is not changing society. Society is changing the church. I'm okay. You're okay. Just don't rock the boat. Just an example. Just an example. The divorce rate is just about as large in the church as it is in the world. Society is not changing. I mean, society is changing the church. Pornography in the church. Child molesters, they're in the church just as they are out in the world. Amen? If Israel and the history in history teaches us anything, the only way out of this is something much more fundamental to occur than simply having meetings. Fundamentally, the problem is if we are not living the same gospel that was delivered to the early believers, the fruit is everywhere to be seen. Who has the courage to see that? Do we want to see reality? Do we want to see really what's happening? We, the Christians, have the critical mass. Now, I'm talking, this is a little bit hard on all of us. We have the critical mass to stop abortion. We have enough people in the United States. There's enough Christians politically to create a whole different culture if we would just stand up. The reason we have not done it is that the context we're living in is we have forgotten about the commandment Jesus said in the first commandment. The first commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said in Matthew the 22nd chapter, verse 37 through 40, upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything was in these two commandments. The context in which we in America have been living out is one leg, one part of what Jesus said. We, as American evangelicals, are doing the love the Lord. With the other part, we have not loved our neighbors. The crisis is we do not love our neighbors. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. If I love you enough, I'm going to tell you what God says. But so many times we don't tell you what the Word of God says because we don't love you enough. You know, it takes real love to speak the truth and sometimes hurt you. You know, we use the statement of to our kids, tough love. You know what tough love is? In other words, I'm going to tell you the way it is, the way you should be, even if it hurts you for a while. But we don't do that. Without the personal love, agape relationship with God, we cannot love our neighbors because we are so caught up in eros love. There's three types of love. Agape, which is God's love, eros, and phileo. Eros love is self-love. It seeks its own. In other words, I love you, but I want to control you. I want to do what it takes. Eros is a fickle partner. Because eros makes its bed in my heart. And I can't be trusted. Because all I want is what's good for me. What's good for me. Not what's good for you. God says, but if we love our neighbor, you're going to do everything you can to bring life to your neighbor. We need to just stop and think about that a minute. not only the witness about Jesus, getting people saved, but in the level of reality where you are living in, it is to look at their life and get them changed. What's missing in their life to make them whole? What's missing? We need to do that. We need to do that. This is a whole different Christianity than what we've been in the United States of America today. You know, it says in Psalms 2, we're not going to read it, but you need to go home and you need to read Psalms 2. Why are the nations in an uproar? It's talking about coming against the anointed, Jesus and us. We are the anointed. God says he laughs because the nations are in an uproar, are coming against it. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, we talk about it over and over and over again. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20.
All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, he said to go and make disciples. Make disciples. That means to go and teach, show, lead, disciple the nations. That doesn't mean just go and to take a few people and make disciples of them. He said make disciples of the whole nations. I mean, that's the job of the church, is to disciple the nations. You know, Jesus has already taken authority of the nations. Jesus is telling his disciples the context of salvation is going to be the... It's just going and leading the nations to the Lord. We say, we go about and say, God, restore to us the miracle power of the early church. Amen? I mean, we read the Bible and we want to see the miracle power of the early church. We're not going to see the same miracles that they had in the early church until we get back to the same gospel that the miraculous took place in. Context of the supernatural is in the context of the kingdom of God. It is only sprinkled around in the world today. You know what those disciples and the after Jesus left and the disciples, they turned the world upside down. They were persecuted. They were ridiculed. They didn't give in. They stood for the Word of God. They were standing for the Word of God. Today, we're so politically correct, we can't say anything what God says. Amen? And then we wonder why we're not seeing the miracles happening. I mean, back when Paul, I mean, what about Paul and the book of Acts? You need to go home and read the book of Acts. You know, he was... When God knocked him off his horse, his mule, and Ananias, God told Ananias, go pray for Paul. He said, oh, no, that man, he's killing all the Christians. He said, don't worry about it. I have called him. I've set him forth. He stood before kings. He stood before people in high places, and he told them about the Lord Jesus Christ. He changed people. He changed people. You know, the Jews back then, would have nothing to do with the Gentiles, which Paul was sent to. In the Old Testament, if you touched the unclean, you became unclean. In the New Testament, you touched the unclean, they became clean. If you're clean. I mean, there Paul went to the heathens. He went to the Gentiles. He was so full of Jesus, so full of God, that when he touched them, they changed. I'm wondering, I better say it. Huh? Well, no, but I'm spanking myself, you know. Are we changing anybody? Are we changing anybody? Are we speaking to people and they're changing? I know sometimes it happens. Oh, it's right. I told you it's going to hurt. But we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to ask God, fill us. You know, we sing, send the fire, send the fire. We've been singing, send the fire. We need to ask God, send the fire in me, change me so that I will be, people will see Jesus in me. That Jesus will see the real deal and change. Amen? And let me just warn you, when you do that, you'll be persecuted. You'll be ridiculed. I mean, yeah, but that's what happened. So many times we're afraid of being around the unclean. We're afraid of being around the unclean. You know, we talk about it, and I know we haven't really had that happen here in our little group, but I've been in places, I've been in churches, I've pastored churches, where the homosexual came in, where the prostitutes come in, where the drug addicts come in, and Jesus changed them all. We love them, we care for them, but we don't accept the sin they're in. We share Jesus with them so that they'll be changed. That's what it's all about. If we're clean, if we're filled with God, if we love our neighbors, we'll change the neighbors. We'll see the power of God change them. Yeah. It's the power of the two-edged sword. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12. The two-edged sword, the power of the Word of God. We've got to speak the Word of God in love, but the power of the Word of God changes people. It will change me. It'll change you. It'll change people. And that's what it is. You know, you just think about it. You go back and you read the New Testament. You know, Paul impacted the region he was in. Paul is an example of what we are to be. I mean, we put him up on this pedestal. We can't attain to that. I beg your pardon. We got the same Holy Spirit. We got the same Jesus that Paul had. We got the same Word of God. With his interpretation of it. I mean, what was the Word of God Paul had? From Genesis, he didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in all the New Testament that Paul wrote, the epistles. He just had the Old Testament. And he changed. He impacted the region he was in. So we need to be asking God. You know, Ben gave a good message. I understand I wasn't here last week, but a good message on intercessory prayer. We need to intercede. We need to be interceding and praying, God, change me, fill my brother and sister in the Lord, and let us impact this nation, impact our neighborhood. Amen? And go touch the unclean. I mean, I agree. I don't like to go in reality. Well, sometimes I really do, but I don't like to go around the ungodly that much. But we need to not be influenced by them. We need to go in and let the glory of God shine and change them. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you and we magnify you. We just glorify you today. Lord, I just ask that you come in your power and your might. Lord, just touch each one here this morning. Touch each one of us so that Jesus will be seen through us. That when people see us, they see Jesus. Lord, work in my life. Work in our lives. So that people will see Jesus. And that we will impact, as Paul impacted the region that he was in, Lord, that we will impact people around us. And we thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we just glorify you today. And Lord, I just speak a blessing on each one here this morning. Lord, come in your power and your might and change us. Change us to be the real deal, the real people. And we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen.